And I'll always remember you like a child girl.
Baby, baby, it is a wild world, but I'll always remember you as a child girl. That was Yusef Islam, a.k.a. Cat Stevens, on your radio, friend. 21 minutes after 9 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. Big program planned for you today. Later on this morning, we will have Mr. Racine in the studio, Mark Eichhorst with Community Conversations. Amongst the guests is Miss Racine. So we're going to be talking with her. That is something that we always look forward to. And then after the great Tom Carco's news, we are going to revisit a discussion I had yesterday with author Cheryl Lou Lian Tan, who wrote a book about her experience. It's actually a novel, but she's from Singapore, and it's really a fun and interesting discussion. So that'll be coming up after the great Tom Carco at the bottom of the hour. Yesterday, I told you beautiful humans about what I had discovered over the weekend, about how and why we have seen an increase in mass shootings in this country over the last 10, 15 years. Really, if you think back, it all started in Columbine when the kids shot up the high school there in the Denver area. And now we have it. It's amazing. The flag once again in front of the Magnum.media building here on Victory Avenue is again at half staff. Unfortunately, we're getting into a situation in our country where pretty much we're going to just have to keep the flag at half staff all the time. Yesterday, we had a shooting in St. Joseph, Michigan. And a prisoner there grabbed the gun of the bailiffs. And it's a small town. It's significantly smaller than Racine or Kenosha. It's Burlington-esque. About 8,000 people. And to hear the sheriff there talk about it, I mean, he was devastated because he knew those bailiffs. They were good buddies of his for 30-plus years. Now, while it is true that the violence rate in general is down, it is also true that the shootings of policemen and policewomen are down significantly since Ronald Reagan was president. These mass shootings, this is something we have never seen on an ongoing basis. And I made the case yesterday that while watching coverage of the protests and the ongoing grieving in Dallas on Saturday, that it occurred to me that two major issues had come together over the last several decades. And it's a combination of a strident religious perspective, both in Islam as well as in Christianity, and as well as the emptying out of our mental hospitals because of the abuses that occurred there during the middle part of the 20th century. So you have people who are from very strict religious backgrounds that basically say this, whether they be Islamic or whether they be Christian, obviously the Christian influence this way is significantly less than in the Islamic world, but it's still there. And it basically says this, that if you don't agree with me religiously, you are evil. In Islam, you are an infidel, and you deserve death. Now, in Christianity, of course, in the extreme forms, you don't deserve death, but at death, if you smoke, drink, chew, or hang around with girls that do, if you don't have the proper faith, if you don't believe the right way, if you haven't repented, you go to H-E double hockey sticks, hell. That's worse than death. That is burning in everlasting punishment provided by a supposed loving God. We've heard many cases, especially from the president and others people too. President Bush said it after 9/11 that Islam is a religion of peace. Well, one could make the argument that all religion is peaceful, even though we know historically that it's been religion that has been at the source of most of the atrocities that have occurred throughout the history of humanity. You couple that with men and women, mostly men, of course, from backgrounds that say, if you're not behaving right, you're going to hell. And on the one hand, and on the other hand, in Islam, if you don't behave right and take out a certain amount of infidels, that you don't have a chance for your 72 virgins in paradise. This is very troubling. And then you combine that with a mental health system that is significantly insufficient to take care of the ill people in our society, and you get these mass shootings. Now, on top of that, you cover that with the information age, and everybody's looking for notoriety. Everybody's looking for attention in one way or another. And we know that a lot of these guys are looking to become famous. So I just talked about this yesterday. And then Donald J. Trump on the campaign trail in Virginia Beach yesterday, he's reading off the teleprompter now. So he's much more under control than he's been heretofore. And within his speech, Trump didn't come up with this, but somebody on his staff came up with the concept that we have got to change and reform our confinement policies in this country. We do. It used to be you could confine somebody to a mental health institution if they were ill. People that are significantly mentally ill, they can't make those kind of decisions for themselves. But because of the past abuse, we just emptied out all the hospitals. Yesterday, Corey Mason, the state representative from the 66th District, quoted somebody saying that the Racine County area is a mental health desert, that there is no help, relatively speaking, for people who are ill. And there's certainly no help for people that can't make a decision for themselves. So there it was, right there on the national and international news. And then last night, I was watching Bill O'Reilly on Fox. And they had this guy who's a host on The Blaze, Lawrence Jones, who's an African-American, who got an interview with the shooter's parents from Dallas. Now we find out in this interview, you got to check this out, that not only was the guy quote-unquote troubled, or we could say mentally ill, but also he was from a, quote, God-fearing home. Unquote.
I'm the Army, and he was in the Army for a while, served in Afghanistan. They said he was a troubled guy. I mean, we've gotten reports now, but the family didn't see him that way, correct?
That's not true. The family didn't say he wasn't troubled. They did say that when he went to the military, he was about patriotism and the Constitution, and he was let down in the military some way, some form or fashion, and he changed when he left the military. He became a loner, and he wasn't the same Micah that entered in the military. He was let down by not only the military and the government, but as well as the Veterans Administration.
So did they say how he was let down? What specifically?
Well, specifically, he had some injuries with his back, and he continued to reach out to the Veterans Administration and the government, telling them that he needed help, and they didn't help out.
All right.
He also said that they lied a lot, and he was against the lying going on within the military.
He also had a beef against police that you talked to the family about. Let's roll the tape on that.
He didn't trust the police.
He did not.
No. I mean,
like many in the black community.
Like many.
Yeah, exactly.
My son was sitting in front of a store eating a sandwich. Both of my sons, he was dropping off my youngest son, waiting on his father. The police was called because two suspicious black men were lurking by the store, were a place where he went several times every week. Mm-hmm. The police pulled him out of the vehicle, questioning him while he was there.
Not an unusual story, and certainly not a story that would lead to the level of violence that we witnessed at the hands of Mr. Johnson. I feel bad for the family. I mean, you know, obviously the father is, we saw how emotional, but nothing anybody can do. I mean, the man...
Well, Well, Bill, it goes back to a conversation that we need to have in America that many people are afraid of having, this relationship problem as it relates to the black community and the police. And it's something that is very uncomfortable, but it's very necessary. And my job was, as a commentator, I am not a journalist, was to give the family an opportunity to tell their story. I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me. And I'm hoping that through this interview that will air Wednesday, that healing is brought to America and that we can prevent this from ever happening again.
Sure.
All right, so that was Lawrence Jones with The Blaze. And as I'm watching this, and that interview was all over the media yesterday, I'm like, why did the family reach out to Lawrence Jones on The Blaze? And The Blaze, ladies and gentlemen, is the cable channel as well as the internet site of Glenn Beck. I'll have more to say about that on the other side after we hear from the great Tom Carco and the WRJN News coming next.
Hi, I'm Dan from the Edelweiss. People always ask me, what's so different about the Edelweiss Dinner Cruises? It's quite simple.
Getting by with a little help from their friends. On your radio, friend, that was The Beatles at 12 minutes after 10 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. This is Glenn Klein in the studio. Momentarily, we're going to be joined by Miss Racine Haley Shanter, but I wanted to finish my thoughts that I started in the opening monologue about what has been happening in our country vis-a-vis these mass shootings and why they're happening now. Now, we know that the violence rate generally has been going down in our country statistically. The shootings of police officers are significantly down since Ronald Wilson Reagan was president. But we have no doubt a massive increase in the shootings that we've seen at places like San Bernardino, at Pulse, the gay nightclub in Orlando, at Sandy Hook, the elementary school, obviously in Dallas the other night. And it's a confluence of two things that have happened over the last several decades. The increase in the intensity of strident religion, specifically Islam, of course, but even so with Christianity. All the mass shooters, basically, generally speaking, have three things in common. They're all men. They're all mentally ill, and they all come from strict religious backgrounds. And so last night, as I mentioned earlier, I was watching the O'Reilly Factor on Fox, and here was a gentleman from The Blaze who had an interview with the Dallas shooter's family. It was not only gripping, it was heart-wrenching, especially the father's reaction. And I thought to myself, why did Lawrence Jones get the interview? Any major network would have been happy and would have put them on immediately, but they went to The Blaze. Lawrence Jones is an African-American commentator on The Blaze. The Blaze is Glenn Beck's network. Remember, Glenn Beck used to be on Fox. He started his radio career, his prominent radio career, in Tampa. And he happened to be on the radio just on his local show when I was living there at 9/11. And Clear Channel did not have a network program at the time, so they went to the Glenn Beck program because it was in Tampa, and also because Tampa, of course, is the home of Central Command. Well, Glenn Beck is a very strict Mormon. And Lawrence Jones said to Bill O'Reilly last night that the shooter's family are God-fearing people, and then it made sense to me why they went to Lawrence Jones. First of all, of course, African-American. And the father and his mother are African-American. The father's remarried to a white woman now. And they watch The Blaze. They watch Glenn Beck, a strident religionist. Here's the answer for right now. And you beautiful humans know I'm all about solutions. You've got to first diagnose the problem. The problem is we've got a mental health crisis in this country that started at the same time where this strict religious right, the moral majority, came to the fore to get involved politically. That was a historic moment when Jerry Falwell got involved in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan. And the Republican Party embraced the religious right. So you have this concept, whether it be Christian or Islam, that says, if you don't agree with me, you deserve death and or hell. That's not good. And Glenn Beck believes that. We need people, we need community leaders and national leaders and international leaders to stand up, not only to say that Christianity is a religion of peace and that Islam is a religion of peace, but why? Why we are all beautiful humans, why we are all righteous and perfect in the sight of God. And I get into this from time to time, so don't miss an episode. It is never boring. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. We are going to be joined by Miss Racine Haley Shanter and Mr. Racine Mark Eichhorst coming up next.
Hey, folks, it's Quintern, and amazingly, they haven't fired me yet. July 4th was a